We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Voice of the Grizzlies and the Eric Hasseltine Show, where guests appear via the Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram phone line on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Rob Perez is, of course, the senior NBA producer over at the Action Network. Go subscribe now to the Action Network. You can always follow him on Twitter at Worldwide Wob. Included over at the Action Network is Wob's latest 2019 NBA season Game of Thrones character remix. We'll get into that momentarily. But Rob, first I wanted to get your thoughts on, is it wishful thinking to think that there are cracks in this Warriors armor? You got Steve Kerr saying you read my lips incorrectly. You've got Draymond doing Draymond things. They're now trying to figure out how to implement Boogie Cousins most effectively. We're all just talking ourselves into something that's not going to happen, right?
That's 100% facts. Yeah. Every time, all the way back to the beginning of the season when it happened at Staples Center between the Clippers and Warriors and the Draymond and Durant had their little beef on the bench, guess what happened? They had a couple games off, and then they come back and they rattle off 15 in a row against us. Then we decide to grab the video of Steve Kerr saying he's tired of Draymond's blank. And we put that up on the internet without context, and guess what happens? They come out and they beat the Houston Rockets, who had beaten them three times prior this season, on their home floor without Kevin Durant. So every single time we want to make these jokey jokes, they come back stronger. I'm thinking of that scene from Men in Black where they walk into the antique store,
yep,
and they blow the guy's head off, the little alien's head off, and it keeps growing back. So every time that we start thinking the Warriors are done and these calling out these instances, all it does is it makes them stronger. It's bulletin board material for them when they think the world thinks that they're melting down. So all we're as responsible for it at this point as they are.
What does it say about me that instead of the Men in Black scene that you reference, which again aptly applies, my first thought is the scene from Disney's Hercules, when Hercules is trying to cut off the head of that water monster, and he keeps doing the same thing, and then you have Danny DeVito's character just saying, hey, stop it with the cutting the heads.
It feels like it at this point, because you figure maybe if we just let the Warriors internally kill themselves without anyone knowing, like maybe the Empire will crumble from within. The Empire is never going to crumble because outside forces are able to breach the walls. The only way it will ever happen is if Draymond, DeMarcus, Kevin Durant, free agency, you have to create this perfect storm of inter-squad turmoil, but they are always going to rally to each other, as we've seen throughout the years. And again, I want to reiterate that all the way back to 2016, when the police had to be called because of the altercation that happened between Steve Kerr and Draymond Green in the Oklahoma City locker room, you think him saying I'm tired of his blank is like anything compared to that? They've been through the trenches. So all this does, again, is going to keep building them up, and it's going to turn them into the 90s Bulls dynasty. And Lord knows, if we keep talking, maybe Kevin Durant's going to stay too, and then we're really screwed.
I was going to say, isn't that kind of, on top of obviously basketball acumen, but isn't that probably the best asset that Steve Kerr offers, is kind of the same thing that Phil Jackson was so special at, which is massaging the egos, understanding when to push buttons, when not to push buttons. But, I mean, honestly, just trying to manage the egos, that's probably his best asset, right?
Yeah, so one thing we forget about all NBA players, not even the superstars, the guys at the end of the bench, if you make the NBA, you at one point were the best player on your team, whether that's at the JV, varsity, AAU, college, you might have been Mr. Basketball from your state, and you're on the team now. So everyone thinks that they are the best player. It's completely natural, right?
So absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's like you know what? I watched the other the game against the Rockets last night, and I see the instance where Draymond Green goes up to DeMarcus Cousins, who took like a terrible flop call from within the restricted area, and it was called a foul, rightfully. And DeMarcus looked like he was about to go nuclear on Ed Malloy. He got up and he started chasing him down. You could hear him screaming on the broadcast. Draymond Green is the peacemaker all of a sudden, like of all people to bring DeMarcus back in. It was Draymond, and he goes over there, he pounds him on the chest, expletive, you know, don't worry about him. Don't let him take you out. And that is the perfect example of why Steve Kerr just sits on that bench and smiles and like lets them go, because they all have their egos. They all know how to manage each other, and what everyone else thinks about us, again, I'm going to keep hammering in on this, is only going to make us stronger. So he knows when to push the buttons to set Draymond off, because if Draymond is set off, then Boogie will be the one to calm him down, or vice versa. And it's worked. I mean, they've won 3 championships in the last 4 years, so I'm never going to question his ability to manage these personalities, despite what everyone, including the players, sometimes have to say about him.
If we get down to the very end of the season, and I ask this because it could wind up being the Grizzlies play the Warriors in the final game of the regular season in this race to convey, which, by the way, if you want to talk about like saddest goals in the world when you're just trying to like get to 9th in the standing so that you don't have to get your draft pick, like that, in terms of like sad goals, we're like right there. But if, let's say that with the Warriors only being a game in front of Denver, do you think that they will push it to the max to make sure that they get the number one seed in the West?
I don't know if they're going to do it because they want the number one seed. They proved last year, we'll walk into your gym in game 7 and we'll beat you. We don't care where we play. We're the Golden State Warriors. I think they're going to do it just to kind of prove to themselves that let's see how good we can be when we all try, give our game 7 effort and mentality. Let's see how good we are. Let's use these games to do that. If we end up getting the one seed, that's great. But I doubt that is their main motivation, is to get that game 7 at home, even though it's proved in the past that it's come in, you know, huge that they end up having that back at Oracle. I don't think that's their main motivation. I still think, even though we're in the middle of March now, they're still trying to figure out at what point can we maximize our potential and be the NBA's Death Star. We've seen glimpses of it, but when we've seen it, you know, DeMarcus Cousins wasn't there. Or when he does come back, Kevin Durant is not there. When can we get all these guys out there at the same time and just lay waste to the league below us?
Who can give them the best series in the West?
That's a really good question. I think the answer is obvious now. We saw it last night. I mean, it is the Houston Rockets, even though the Warriors are probably going to win that series. You could talk about matchups all day with Denver and, you know, Denver specifically, they have one guy on that team that has been to the playoffs and experienced that, how the game changes, and that's Paul Millsap. I think Will Barton's been there with Portland in the past once or twice, but, you know, Jokic under the spotlight, I can't trust them yet. I can't allow them to be in my foxhole when the mortars start coming in around me, and that's going to happen when you play the Warriors. You got Chris Paul, you got James Harden. They're not scared of the Warriors at all. They had 3 wins versus them going into last night. They know they can beat them, and they're probably still have that hangover from last year that if we had Chris Paul, we win that series. And I know Warriors fans are going to say, well, if we had Iguodala, it's a sweep. Yeah, but you're not going to change the Rockets' mindset until you beat them again this year. So just from a basketball fundamentals and also emotional mindset standpoint, I can't think of anyone better to take them down than the Houston Rockets.
Talking, of course, to Rob Perez of the Action Network, senior NBA producer over at the Action Network. He's on Twitter, at Worldwide Wob. And then on to the East. When we look at it, I mean, I think we both can see matchup reasons that either Toronto or Milwaukee could at least hold our interest against Golden State, perhaps maybe because it's something new and we'd be willing to watch it. But my question for you is, do you think either one of those teams can stand up to the Warriors after having to make it through the East, which it appears that the conference semifinals and the conference finals are certainly, I think, more likely to test whichever team comes out of the East than probably is going to test the Warriors?
Yeah, so here's one of the things in the East, is that one of these top four teams is going to have to play the Indiana Pacers in the first round.
Yep.
Indiana Pacers, despite not having Victor Oladipo, are going to take that first round series 7 games, just like they did with the Cavs last year. They're going to give you that World War type of series that those other three teams in the East are not really going to have to experience. And then guess what? When you're done with that 4 or 5 game and you're wounded and licking your wounds from Indiana, you got to go play Milwaukee. So I'm only really looking at those top three teams at the moment. And for me, from day one, it has been the Toronto Raptors. It's not the Bucks, despite them already having 50 wins, the coach of the year. They have the MVP. They have everything, it seems like, that would match up with the Warriors. But since 2016, I said, if you try and out-Warriors the Warriors, you're going to lose. And that's exactly how the Milwaukee Bucks play basketball. They play exactly like the Warriors, pace and space, threes, big guys that stretch the floor, zero offensive rebounding. It doesn't do it for me. My pick has always been the Toronto Raptors, and I do think they could stretch the finals into at least 6 games. When you're throwing these guys of Kawhi Leonard, Siakam, Danny Green, Van Vliet, Powell, like I can keep going down the list here of guys that can't stop the Warriors, but they get disturbed by length. If there's one thing that jump shooters don't like, it's when I beat you off the dribble and you're still able to make up for it because you're so long. And they got 3 lockdown length swingmen that can really disturb the tide there a little bit. And half those guys as well can get you playoff buckets. So I'm riding with Toronto all the way through Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Okay. I intellectually agree with everything that you're saying. And this is where I struggle. I'm with you entirely. But to me, it feels like we're not going to have LeBron in the playoffs. So what are we going to talk about? Because at the end of the day, we're talking about, hey, who can stretch this to 6 against the Warriors? Because, like, what contrived debate are we going to come up with? Because if we're not going to have LeBron to talk about, like, what's there going to be? Like, this is really setting up to be, I mean, for lack of a better word, winter is coming this summer.
Right. Yeah, I see it from that aspect of, like, we are so used to LeBron taking on the Warriors in the first week of June. But while he was with the Cavs, like, the Eastern Conference felt like it was decided before the playoffs started. So if we're looking for entertainment value, I think the Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be the most entertaining that they've been in the last 10 years, even with LeBron being there. Because those second round, there's going to be one great first-round series, and those second-round series were the top four. Those are going to be like conference finals games, and we get 2 rounds of that. So I know LeBron's not there, and the mainstream global audience may not be as interested in that, but from like a nerd basketball standpoint, I could watch Bucks versus Raptors all day. Those aren't the big names, but they got big names on the back of the jerseys more so than on the front. And we're just assuming Boston doesn't show up or like is keeping up this whole underachievement thing that they've got going on. If they decide to beat the Boston Celtics, now we've got names on the back of the jersey and the front. So I'm optimistic about the playoffs still being as entertaining without him, but there certainly is a lightning rod of content which is missing in the form of LeBron James.
Has an NBA Eastern Conference final ever been played on NBA TV?
You took the joke from me. I was waiting to use that. So I said half these first-round series are probably going to be on NBA TV and True TV because they wouldn't even put these on TNT or TBS. Like, at this point, we're gearing up for, what, Pacers Nets or something? Like, no one's going to watch that. But that's why I said it's the first-round series. Once you get to the second rounds, then we can move those to the main carriers. But, yeah, a lot of those first-round series in the East Circuit should be on NBA TV.
All right, want to get to your latest content piece over at the Action Network. But before we do that, as a lifelong Knicks fan, does James Dillon ever disappoint you?
I'm always disappointed. And in this specific instance that's happened recently with the fan, I kind of found myself, I'm like, I can't support Dolan, can I? But just because that video ended up on TMZ, it felt staged to me like he was trying to get
the question. It felt like the ultimate bait, like,
it was, and you can't do that to him in his own arena. If you went over to someone's house for dinner and said, this steak sucks, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to get your butt beat in that house. You don't do something that you don't do. And again, I'm starting to defend Dolan here, which is making me even angrier than usual. So, no, nothing ever changes in the world of the Knicks. But for the love of God, can we just stay out of the news when July 1st comes around? Because there are bigger things to worry about in the form of Durant and Kyrie.
I think my favorite part was his going on Michael Kay's show. And Michael Kay was, like, trying to protect him and trying to help him. And Dolan was just like, no, 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 I got this. And then he just goes and digs a hole even deeper.
Well, you have to remember, he lives in a world of being arguably the most powerful human being in the city of New York. He has a monopoly in cable vision. He practically owns the Garden, the Knicks, the Rangers. He's one of the most powerful people here, and he's lived in this shell of being that billionaire forever. So, you know, it's not that I don't blame him or necessarily feel bad for him, but he doesn't have the pulse of what, you know, really Knicks fans, the fan base, or the city for that matter, thinks what's going on.
He's kind of the grown-up, real rich person version of Brad Calipari, right? Like, James Dolan does feel like the guy that, you know, he's got his own band that he makes all his yes men listen to, but, like, he does feel like the guy that would, underneath the shirt, like, have the tattoo that says earned, not given, and not understand the irony.
I don't want to say anything bad about him, because I'm going to get banned. I'm already banned from, like, stepping on the steps for, like, wearing a free Oakley jersey, and if I say anything more about him, I'm going to lose my season tickets. So this is a continuous battle that I have to fight being a diehard Knicks fan. I don't even hate the Knicks. I love the Knicks. That's the problem here. It's like, I'm trying to help you, man.
Rob Perez is joining us at Worldwide Wob on Twitter. His latest piece over at the Action Network is the 2019 NBA season Game of Thrones character remix. Let's start first with your beloved New York Knicks. You've compared them to Tyrion Lannister because, essentially, they're having to make a massive gamble. If it pays off, it's going to be great. If not, it's probably getting killed. I got to say 10 out of 10 on that one, my man.
Yeah, so these comparisons that I made, they took me all weekend. I know it's only like an 1,000-word article, but there are so many characters to choose from here, and the comparisons have to be dead on because Game of Thrones fans are so intellectual in terms of knowing what's going on. And Tyrion was on point because, like you said, they are taking a risk of joining the rival family, and they're like, how dare you compare one of the best characters in Game of Thrones to the Knicks? Well, if you think about it, like, yeah, the Knicks could be one of the best teams in the league next year if the gamble pays off. So Daenerys better end up on that Iron Throne. Otherwise, Cersei and everyone else, I'm probably going to die. And that is very similar in the New York Knicks situation.
Weirdly, it has to be encouraging, right, when you see the reports come out that say perhaps the Knicks were tampering with Durant, that they had a meeting in January. Like, that has to be comforting, because otherwise, like, okay, I get why they made the moves. Like, they were doing this for a reason. Like, that has to be comforting, right?
Yeah, it was comforting to the fact that we just had the Dolan conversation, that even Dolan at this point feels like you can't mess it up. When they're making moves as if, because Perry and Mills, I mean, we trust these guys, and they've proven to actually, you know, make some decent moves here in the past couple of years. And I'm thinking, if they're willing to part with Porzingis and not strong-arm him into a contract extension, they know something that we don't. I mean, there's so many conversations that go on above my pay grade that if they make that type of decision this far in advance, they may know something. In the same way Tyrion knew that Daenerys was going to be able to get over to Westeros, I'm putting my money on those two to actually pull it off.
Okay, one of your best ones, and they're all spot on, but Daenerys Targaryen as the Milwaukee Bucks, your caption is really, well, A, putting the flat bill on Daenerys is 10 out of 10. So hat tip to you, pun absolutely intended there, on the Photoshop work. We'll take what's theirs and threes and dunks, and she has the dragon. So, I mean, I'm with you there.
So she's got Drogon, the fire-breathing dragon in the form of Giannis. We're gonna play our style of basketball, which is threes and dunks only. We took Brook Lopez, who had never shot a three in his life 2 years ago and was one of the worst rebounders in the league, and we're gonna, all of a sudden, he's the complete opposite. So we are going to conquer the East with fire and blood, which in this case is three pointers and monster Giannis dunks. And oh, by the way, if I need to, I'll just say Junkarius instead of Dracarius and just have this guy take off from half court and kill you.
Okay. I don't want to be this guy, because there's nothing more infuriating than when somebody puts clearly hours and hours of work into essentially what is a thought piece. But I wanted to offer an alternative to you for the Grizzlies. Use the High Sparrow, and your reasoning is spot on, but spoiler alert for everyone that's rewatching right now. I wanted to know what you would think if I said that the Memphis Grizzlies were Ramsey Bolton, in that they go about, they went about their business in an entirely against the grain thought process, but inevitably you knew it wasn't going to work. They got there kind of by dirty reasons. They eventually get to the point where they earned legitimacy. They go from being, lack of a better word, a bastard of the league to finally getting some respect. But in the end, you know they were going to die.
Well, this is going to hurt, but uh-huh. Ramsey Bolton won something. He won the North. What did the Grizzlies won? They were never the lords of the Western Conference.
He was warden. Was he ever warden? Oh, no, that's true. Because he
took over for Bolton.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say beating the Thunder to get to the Western, because being at that point in the North, I mean, John still had his claim. The Starks were still alive, so maybe he thought like he had a claim, but he really didn't.
But well, listen here, the High Sparrow comparison is it works for me, because they would always show up to fights with everyone else had these high caliber machine guns. They would show up with knives and forks, and they would still get their way. They'd make you play their style no matter what. But when someone showed up with hellfire and a nuclear weapon in the form of a superstar, that was always what kind of conquered the religion. And that stinks, because I know you guys are Memphis-based, but gosh, every time they got to the Western, it felt like they got to the Western Conference Finals or that second round, it was always some superstar that could, like, and even the team can't take him down. And it just went up in flames.
Theon Greyjoy as the Minnesota Timberwolves is just absolutely perfect. They had dreams. They got a little bit of a taste of it, but in the end, like, yeah, you know, that's perfect.
Yeah, there was a very Greek moment earlier this year for the Timberwolves in which, you want to talk about Ramsey Bolton, you know, Jimmy Butler was Ramsey Bolton in this case, their teammate. You're supposed to be on our team, you know, going out and looking for the traitors, and then all of a sudden he's got me pinned to a cross, torturing me until either myself or he is traded. So they're still trying to recover. They were once a proud house, but sometimes when the pressure's on, they'll jump off the boat and leave their brothers and sisters behind still to this day.
Tom and Baratheon as the Los Angeles Lakers, you insert, which I think it's probably the best gif on the internet still. Tom and out the window, which makes perfect sense, because if you lose... Your lovely bride, especially at that age when she really wasn't playing fair with you the entire time, like, that's really your only course of action, right?
Yeah, and I mean, this is obviously meant to allude towards LeBron, you know, just seeing what played out this season with the Lakers. He's looking out the window and he's just like, I've had enough of this. I'm the king, but, you know, enough's enough. Goodbye.
it's so perfect. Okay, and we'll finish up there. What is their next move? Like, it has to be, it's AD, but I mean, are you convinced that they're going to, at the end of the day, make the best offer to get AD?
Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think they have moves to play before it. As soon as LeBron got there, it's always been about the summer of 2019. Getting LeBron in-house was 2018. Now that they have a max spot available, they can go after Kawhi Leonard. They can go after Jimmy Butler. They can go after Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, if LeBron James is able to convince these guys to play alongside him. In the event that fails and they have to end up just splitting that max spot up into several mid-level guys, we can talk about going out and trading for AD again, because he still has another year on his contract. So the move here is to stay the course. They still have their young guys in-house. They haven't made any moves to mortgage the future for just this season. They can't even get Zubats back if they so please, because he's going to be a free agent. So the plan here is to stay the course, see if they can get any of those top five free agents to come, and if they can't, then we can start seriously deciding if we need to trade everyone for Anthony Davis.
Rob, you're the best one, man. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.